Good morning once again. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all are having fun in church today? Come on. I'm just really excited to be here. I think it all started last week on Sunday night. We had a worship time right here in this building. And it was just a wonderful time of worship and prayer. And it kind of lit a fire in me. And I'm still burning. Come on, somebody. And listen, I hope and pray you're going to come out tonight at 6 o'clock over at our North Braddock location. We're going to worship Jesus, and we have people prepared to pray and do prophetic ministry with you. And I believe that God is lighting a fire in our lives. Come on, are you with me? I thought you'd be excited about that. I don't know. You see, I believe God's up to something. I believe he's stirring something. And we're going a little bit late today in praise and worship. I'm going to do my best to get through the message as quick as I can today. But I don't want to shortchange you. Some of you all paid full price. And I don't want to shortchange the word of God. Listen, is that okay with you today? Come on. How many of y'all got room for the word today? Come on. And there's no Steeler game for about another 8 months, so we're good. Come on, somebody. And there's nowhere to go, nowhere would rather be than right here. Y'all good? Yeah, and we're in this series, Seek First, the Kingdom of God. Seek First. And what we're doing, we're just going over habits. We're trying to get you good habits to start the year. And so the first five messages, the first one was developing spiritual habits. And then the second message last week was developing good physical, like how to take care of your physical health and how to develop good habits there. Today, I'm going to communicate with you about emotional health. And emotional health has never been more important than it is right now. Emotional health in our chaotic world, in our crazy world. Now listen, I want to speak to something. I'm not speaking today to clinical diagnosis of like clinical depression or anxiety attacks or panic attacks. I'm not speaking to clinical diagnosis today. Because if you think I am, you're going to think I'm trivializing something very, very important. I just want to talk to all of us about how to take care of ourselves emotionally. And our mental health is important. Okay? So I want to give that little I had to give that disclaimer because if I start going, you're going to think, wait a minute, you're trivializing, you're making light of something that's really serious, and I'm in no way doing that. Y'all with me? But how many of y'all know, just as I need to take steps of my physical health, I need to take steps of my spiritual health, and I need to take steps of my emotional health. Are you with me? So I want to speak to your emotional health. Why am I doing this? Because we can be in a room full of people and feel all alone. We can have a lot of communication, but no deep connection. Come on, we shop online, we bank online, we communicate online, right? We our heads down. All we're doing is scrolling with our hoodies up, and we wonder why we're all alone. See, we're living a life that God never intended us to live. We're living in ways that are contrary to God with our emotional health, and we're wondering why God's not showing up. Are you with me? See, in the midst of chaos and confusion and all these things, we're trying to live lives that God never created us to live, and we're wondering why we're so weary. And weariness is overtaking us in our culture. I'm telling you, the amount of weariness that's going on. So let me just give a quick definition. See, how many of y'all have ever been physically tired? How many of y'all are physically tired right about now? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on, tell the truth. You are. You're physically tired. See, so when you're physically tired, you know what you ought to do? You ought to eat a good meal and go to bed early. How many of y'all know that's not what you do? Right? We don't. We don't do that. We think that's, no. That's an invitation to a double feature. So we go on Netflix and Prime Video. How many of y'all have ever looked at things on, how many of you ever looked for something to watch and you spent longer trying to find something to watch than it took to watch it? Come on, you with me? Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. Come on, it takes you, It takes you an hour and 45 minutes to find something, and an hour, it's over. Are you with me? And how many of y'all spouses, how many spouses here have ever woken up in the morning and you have a contest who didn't sleep as much? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I'm more tired than you. I'm way more tired than you. Come on, how many of y'all try to one-up people on how tired you are? See, yes, that's physical tired, but then weary is different. Weary is emotionally. And you got to treat your emotions different than you do physically. And then there's physical tired. Physical is when you're empty. And people get burned out because they get tired physically, they get weary emotionally, and they get spiritually dry, and then they burn out. And there's a thing in Jesus' church that everybody's so afraid of burning out. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to burn out. Well, I mean, first of all, you got to catch fire before you burn out. Okay? I mean, I don't know about you. You got to catch fire before you have a warning sign you're going to burn out. And I'm not saying burnout isn't real. It's real, but you control your burnout. I have a lot of people tell me, Pastor, I was involved in church, and church burnt me out. Church didn't burn you out. You're a big person. Don't be a victim anymore. Take charge of what you can take charge of. Are you with me now? See, I want to speak to you on a level today that I want to help you emotionally here. I want to help you in every way with your life. And so we're going to read some verses in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew 6, it's red letters. I'm going to read a whole bunch of verses to you. And in context of Matthew chapter 6, it's about prayer. It's about fasting. It's about not worrying. How many of y'all are good at worrying? How many of y'all are, like, you know, if you don't worry, nobody else will. Come on, somebody. If I don't worry, who's going to worry? Right? I mean, worry is a real thing. And so there's prayer and there's fasting and there's all these things in Matthew chapter 6 here. And in Matthew 6, Jesus' words here, he says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or harvest, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than cardinals and blue jays? Have you ever seen a worried bird? I've never seen one. They look a little skittish to me, but they don't look worried. I didn't. I've never seen. You go downtown, those pigeons are bold. Are you with me? But they're not worried. They know you got something for them. Come on. Come on, see, but they're not. So we need to take a lesson here. That's what he's saying here. And worry means to divide into parts. It means you're divided into parts. You're preoccupied with things that cause anxiety and stress and pressure. That's what worry is. Worry divides your mind. Okay, that's the definition there. So let's go on here. In verse 28, look at the lilies of the field. Have you ever seen a flower look worried? No, I'm serious. Have you ever seen? I have never seen a worried flower. Even when you cut them, you cut them and you put them in the vase, they don't look worried to me. Come on. And in verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? The key to our emotional health is to have faith in God. It's to have a faith in God. He got me. I don't know what you're going through right now, but if God got you, he got that. No, we need to remind one another, if God got you, then he got that. Look at your neighbor and say, if God got you, he got that. Look at him, tell him that, okay? And now tell him, I don't know what your that is, but he got that. See, he got that. He got it. He got it covered. So verse 32, these things dominate the minds of unbelievers. People who don't know Jesus, their minds get dominated with all these worries of life. What am I going to wear? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? And we get divided, and we all get divided in life. Am I right? We all get worried come on us. We all got healthy. We all got struggling for our emotional health. And it's because we're doing so much craziness. And listen, by the time the average person gets to church, on Sunday morning, if you would just take the 7 days prior, the average person has had 49 hours of screen time. Let me speak to you right now. Now, I know I'm going to sound like old Pastor Rick. Somebody say, go ahead, Pastor. We know you're old. Come on, somebody. Yeah. No, listen to me. We have so much screen time, and we're listening to so much information. By the time we come to church, we have no time for the Word of God to even affect our mind. We're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And 49 hours of content and information. It's no wonder we come to church. And I mean, it's like we're here for, I mean, we've been here an hour. And then, oh my goodness, who knows how long this guy's going to preach. I mean, you're tired already. How many of you are right now planning your nap when you get home? Come on. Come on. Yeah, you are. How many of you are? Yeah. Some of you, I can tell you have kids. You're thinking, I'm going to nap in heaven. That's the next time I'm going to nap. That's the next time I get a nap. It's going to be in heaven. Okay? That's what you're thinking, okay? But we are, but we're scrolling and we got chaos on our lives. We have chaos all over us here. And so I want to first of all talk to you about authentic community. Authentic community. Because I believe authentic community is designed to bring us peace and health in our minds. Because I don't care if you're an introvert or extrovert, God created us for connection. No, I'm telling you, many people say, well, I'm just an introvert. I don't want people. I don't want to be around people. I don't care who you are. We all need people. We need people in our lives. Even you introverts. Listen, I know it's hard to imagine, but you need people. And so here's a verse in Galatians 6. Share each other's burdens, and this way obey the law of Christ. Share each other's burdens. Burdens are a weight. Burdens are a pressure. Burdens are a pressure. It says, share one another's burdens. Now, the first thing I know all of us say is, well, who's going to share my burdens? The Apostle Paul didn't say that. He said, share one another's burdens. We get fixated on our burdens, but we forget that I'm supposed to share other people's burdens. What if we wanted to fulfill the law of Christ? How many of y'all want to fulfill God's purpose on your life? Okay, and so share one another's burdens. That means share the weights. That means I can't be Jesus for you. Thank you for trying. But I can't be Jesus for you, but I can share the weight with you. It's found authentic community here. There's a weight that we bear on our own, and there's one to be shared. So we have these wonderful things. They're going to begin in a couple weeks, in 3 weeks from now. We have groups coming up, small groups. And I'm telling you, when you get in the habit, listen, I'm talking to you about habits. Habits create behaviors. Behaviors create mindsets. And you got to create a habit where you're getting the right thing put into you. And groups are, I'm urging you, I'm begging you to get yourself into a group. Well, I don't need a group. It's just me and Jesus. You don't read the same Bible as I do. No, you don't. You're not in the same Bible. Because everywhere through the Bible, we need authentic community to live out our Christian lives. Are you with me here? We need this. We need authentic community. So groups are a way. So let me try to explain to you this way. It's a fresh way. Let me just try to give you three ways we have authentic community. We need to share our food. No, we need to share our food. So this is how we have community. We share our food. We show our flaws. We support each other's faith. What do you mean we share our food? Yeah, we share our food. Let me put it to you this way. See, if you come to my house, the first time you come to my house and you say, hey, do you have ketchup for these burgers? I hate ketchup, but we have it because my wife likes it. And I'll go to the refrigerator and I'll get the ketchup out and I'll bring it to you. And I'll say, here's the ketchup for you. Guess what happens on the second time you're at my house? The second time, you know where it's at. Go get it. That's called refrigerator privileges. We need more people in our life that have refrigerator privileges into our life. We need more people that you can say, that. And how many people that you know that you say, go get it? You know where it's at. Now, sometimes my wife, she's she's not here. She's at one of our other locations this morning. And she's a much better hostess than I am a host sometimes. I say, you know where the kitchen is, go get it. She'll say, let me get that for you. But what I'm trying to say is, we need more people to share food with. And we're not sharing meals like we did, you know, even years ago. It used to be like we shared meals. Hey, let's get together. And it, you didn't even have to have a plan. It was like, we'll get together and figure it out. I mean, I remember going to church with five kids. And people would say, yeah, let's have lunch. I'm like, you know how many people that is? Listen, there's not just two. There's seven coming. And it's like, we'll figure it out. See, but we're sharing food. We're sharing life. We're sharing together. Are you with me? See, we need more people we can share food with, but we need more people that share our refrigerator. Are you with me? Okay, then we need to show our flaws. This is where we kind of jump off the train. We got to be willing to show our flaws to one another and realize that God and other people still love us. Share our emotional struggles at times. I'm struggling right now, but I'm not afraid to struggle in front of people. Used to be, but I'm not now. And then we support each other. That means we pray for one another. We help one another. See, that's what we need. Authentic community helps our emotional health. We don't think of it that way. We need to put community into our lives here because we stand together, we fight together because we're better together. Let's say this out loud. Everybody, can you see it there? Here we go. We stand together. Come on. We because one more time, real loud. Come on. We stand together, we fight together because we're better together. We're better together here. That's authentic community. We need that. And we need practical ways to do this. And I'm telling you, like, why do we come to church on the first day of the week? See, many people come because it's the end of the weekend and you did everything you wanted to do. No, today is a reset for our week. Mentally and emotionally, your first 15 minutes when you wake up and your last 15 minutes before you go to bed are one of the most important times of your day. Because the way you wake up sets your tone, and the way you go to sleep sets your tone how you're going to sleep. Put the phone down and stop scrolling before you wonder why you're all confused at night. Well, I'm just going to scroll a bit. Come on. I'm just going to watch one more episode. Come on. How many of you? I'm just going to watch one more quarter of that football game. I want to tell you, the Lord was with me last Monday night when the Steelers were playing. I went to bed at 8:30, about 3 minutes into the game. God was on me. I don't know what happened with you. You went to work tired the next day. The Lord doth provide for me. Come on, somebody. No, what I'm trying to say, but that takes discipline. You got to have discipline for your emotional health. And we start our week in Acts 20. They broke bread. They brought their offering. 1 Corinthians, the first day of the week, they brought their offering. We start our week as a habit by saying, I am dependent on God. We bring our offering to say, we're dependent on God. We're trusting God. Our faith is in God. I don't know what this week's going to have, but my faith is in God. See, when you develop a habit, this is a good habit that affects our emotional health. Am I right? How many of you are doing better right now than you were an hour and 8 minutes ago when you walked in? Be honest. How many, maybe your mind shifted? Am I right? Maybe you came in burdened, but maybe like, okay, now it's not as burdened. Am I right? Because we reset our minds on Christ. So we need authentic community. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now I want to talk to you about, I talked about authentic community. Now I want to talk about rest and recovery. Rest and recovery. In our Western culture, we are not good at resting and recovering. Matter of fact, we are bad at it. We run. I mean, I used to, there were years ago, my wife and I, we'd go away for a few days or we'd go on vacation, and I would have to take the first, 2 days, and I would literally sleep just to catch up. because I was so spent. And I learned a different routine. I've learned different habits. And as I've learned different habits, I've gotten healthy, and I don't have to do that anymore. I can go, and maybe it takes me a day or two to get out of work mode, but I don't have to sleep 2 days anymore. Because I've learned how to rest my mind. I've learned how to recover. Here's these verses here, Jesus' words. Come on, I want to help you get good habits in your life. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. And he said, learn from me. Jesus said, learn from me. How many of y'all know Jesus is a good teacher? He's a good teacher. He says, learn from me. He says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You're going to find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden, that's that weight. My burden is light. Okay, I want to refresh your soul. Your soul is your innermost being, your identity, who you are on the inside, your will, your emotions, all those things. Are you with me here? See, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. We got to create good habits. If something's rubbing you the wrong way, you got the wrong yoke on you. The wrong yoke will rub you the wrong way. A yoke puts you connected to Jesus here. Okay, it's going to rub you the wrong way. You got to get the right thing on you. We're not learning from Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How well did you prepare for this morning? Don't raise your hand. Just bear with me here. I'm asking you a question. How well did you prepare emotionally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally to be here today? Could it be, we all come to church, and it's like, well, I hear this so often. Listen, over 4 decades, I'm not getting anything out of church. Could it be you're getting out the very thing you're putting into it? You prepare more for a Steeler game. You prepare more to go to dinner. You prepare more for all these external things, and you're not preparing for the Word of God to affect your life and your mind. What's preventing you from receiving more? Distraction. I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks I got off all social media. I feel like a free man. Stop listening to the depressing sports talk, and I stop listening to all this other stuff, and I just feel like a free man. My mind's free. I'm reading more. I got more worship music coming in. I'm listening more to the right thing. My mind is lighter. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you. Turn it off. We got to learn to turn our minds off. You know what? Listen, we got to find things that refresh us here. We got to create a habit. We got to create a routine. When do you go to bed at night? Now I know there's like 4 or 5 people. Well, I just can't sleep, Pastor. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else. No, what time do you go to bed at night? Why don't you go to bed at a decent hour? People say to me all the time, how do you get up so early in the morning? I go to bed early at night. It's a wonderful thing. I had to train myself. I had to teach myself mentally how to do these things. Are you with me? See, you got to tell your time and tell your mind where to go. That's it. So if you want emotional health, what fills you up? What rejuvenates you? Tennis fills me up. It's one place I can go. I don't have to think. I can just play. I exert myself. I get my dopamine hit. I got all the right things, chemicals in my brain. I think different. I'm happier. Come on. Do you realize a walk around the block every day might do y'all some good? No, I'm serious. I'm not being smart. I'm saying we got to do things that fill us up. Oh, I don't have time. I got 18 kids. I work, 72 hours a week. I don't have time. Okay, walk around the block one time. Just once. Give it a try. No, I'm trying to help you emotionally. We don't think this way because we're not telling our minds where to go. So emotional health. Let's look at this here. I'm going to try to go quick for you. We got to learn to process our feelings, set boundaries, and engage in activities that recharge us. No, I'm telling you, you got this is what you should be writing down. You should take a picture of this. If nothing else, I'm trying to, you got to learn to process your feelings. Yeah, I'm talking to the men out there. I know. I mean, many guys, I don't have feelings. You do. You've just buried them all. Okay? That's why we're doing Victory and Freedom in 2 weeks. Friday night, all day Saturday, I'm going to Victory and Freedom. You want to know why? I need a reset in my mind and in my heart. That's why I'm going. And I'm inviting all the men to meet me. Because you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to get spiritually renewed. I'm going to get my mind renewed. I'm going to get every part of my body, like every part of my life renewed so I can focus on God and have some healthy habits. Are you with me? So we need healthy habits in how to process. We need healthy habits in to set boundaries. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. You need a night a week, maybe two nights a week, where you're not running. I'm just as guilty as anybody. I can run with the best of them. Come on, somebody. I'm pretty high strung, if the truth be known. My wife was here, she'd be, that's right. But you got to engage in activities that recharge you, okay? Emotions are a gauge to be monitored, not a guide to be followed. Your emotions are just a gauge, like you got to monitor that. But you can't trust your emotions. How many of y'all have realized you can't trust your emotions? Pastor Ben used the illustration last week. I listened to his message that you don't go to the store hungry. You know, don't go to the grocery store hungry. Because your emotions will tell you to buy everything. Are you with me now? Am I right? Don't trust that feeling. Don't trust those emotions. Okay, so now, listen, I just want to help you. I'm going to tell you how I do it. As a matter of fact, if you don't hear anything else I say today, what I'm about to tell you is going to be the most practical help for you in your emotional health. How many of y'all realize you need better habits with your emotional health? Come on, be honest with me. Okay. I'm going to give you this. Sit down with a piece of paper. Sit down with a real piece of paper and an old-fashioned pen. I do better not doing this. In emotional health, what is happening to me? Write down, if you can click on that next one, thank you so much, I appreciate that. What is happening to me? I write it down. I literally write it down. This is what's happening to me. So-and-so said, you know, you're fat and ugly. You know, I write it down. So-and-so said, you're fat and ugly. Okay, I mean, so-and-so rejected me. So-and-so didn't show up for an appointment. So-and-so, like, what happened to you? I got hit with a big bill I wasn't expected, or a layoff happened at work. This is what happened to me. Literally, write it down. Now, what happened in me? Write down what's happening in you. I feel rejected. I feel abandoned. I feel like God feels far away. Listen, guys, men, I'm telling you, I do this on a regular basis. It's been one of the healthiest things I do in my life. I share this with leaders all over. If you'll do this, I'm telling you, it will help you. But don't forget the last question. What's God doing with me? What's God doing with me? This has helped me separate my emotional strain. Yeah, this happened to me. Yeah, I feel this way. But you know what? God is showing me he can be trusted. God is showing me that, you know, I can follow him. Listen, I'm telling you, this works. We got to take time and care for our emotional health. We got to create some habits where there's boundaries, where there's boundaries in our life and people that are sucking the life out of us. We got to stay out of those people that are just sucking the life out of us. I know what some of you are thinking. What if they're in your small group? Okay, I know what you're thinking. Okay, I've been to a few like that, okay? I'm going to help. I can't be Jesus for you, but I can support you to find him. And we have to stop looking at people in our lives as being Jesus and start looking to them to help support us to find Jesus. There's in the body of Christ, everybody goes to church and they get upset. I don't like this church. There's so much church hurt. this church hurt me, that church hurt me, this happened here, this happened there. They didn't take care of me. And I listen, some of it's very valid. Some people come to our church and say that. I'm not saying it's not valid, but at some point, we have to stop looking at people to meet all of our needs. And I need to share the burden with you, but I can't be the answer to the burden. I'm telling you, it works. Take time this week to fill this out, and then you process what God's doing, and it'll give you mental health. So what habits do you need to, what do we need to do? What do we need? We need to set our mind, schedule our time, and do things that recharge us. Set our mind, schedule our time, and do things that recharge us. There's certain things that recharge me. Reading recharges me. Playing tennis. I can't play tennis now. It's just so expensive certain places, so I've been reduced to pickleball. Yes, I've been reduced to pickleball. I'm now one of those people. My wife and I went Friday. We played. And we lowered the median age considerably with the people we were playing with. Okay? But what I'm trying to say is I got to do something to get extra. I got to do something. But it's helping my mental being. Staying at home, watching another series, locking yourself up, especially during winter, especially during this time, isn't helping us. So what are some habits you can develop to help yourself emotionally? Get yourself into authentic community. Not on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, but on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you can share your food. Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're all fasting. So then you'll just share your prayer. Are you with me? I'm telling you, we're so tired. I see as a pastor so many people come into church so worn out, so weary, and it's breaking my heart. So we're developing habits physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Next week, you're going to have the opportunity to get a hold of some financial habits you have. Financial health. Money is something every person in this room thinks about every single day. As a matter of fact, most of us, I'm putting me in there, think about money more than we do God. Am I right? Every time you fill up your gas tank, I'm thinking about money. Every time I got to go to the store later today and get some fruit and stuff for the next couple of days, I'm like, I'm thinking about money. How much is this going to cost me? Come on. But if we don't get good habits, we're not going to have good behaviors, and our mind's going to go in the wrong direction. That's what this is about. Write down what you want to accomplish and how you're going to accomplish it. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. How many times a week do you want to read? How many times a week are you gonna get refreshed? How many times a week are you gonna walk around the block? How many times a week are you gonna schedule time? Listen, I know this is ultra practical, but I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we're worn out, church. And we got to do something practically. We're gonna commit our actions to the Lord, and our plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Commit our actions to the Lord, not our hopes, not our thoughts, not our dreams. Commit your what? Actions to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So I'm asking you to commit your actions to the Lord and watch your plans be established. How many of y'all heard something that is practical and helpful for you today? How many of y'all? Now listen, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a blessing on you. This week, you're going to develop good habits. Now men, I already invited you to come to Victory and Freedom with me. If you've never been to this Friday night and then all day Saturday, men, I'm inviting you to come with me. And we're going to do some house cleaning on the inside of us. And if you're scared, I don't know what's going to happen, you can sit by me. I'll help you. Because I don't know how many I've been to. Probably been to 10, 12, 15 of these by now. But you know what? I still go because I need it. I need a reset in my life. How about you? So Heavenly Father, I pray over every person who can hear my voice right now. Lord God, I ask you, Father, to renew us, recharge us, Lord God. Help us develop good habits physically, spiritually, emotionally, God. Lord God, there's a group of people here that they're weary. They're weary even emotionally, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, stop the chaos and just embrace who you are, Father. God, help every relationship, Lord God, go to another level of good habits, every spiritual, financial. Next week, Lord God, do a work at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, Lord God. Do a significant work, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, have peace in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, if you don't have a day or time where you said, Jesus, I've missed the mark. I have sinned and I receive your forgiveness, Jesus, by what you did on the cross for me, then you need to come to Jesus at this moment and say, Jesus, I have sinned. I have fallen short, and now I want you, Jesus, to be the leader of my life. Help me develop disciplines in my life that will please you, Father. So if that's you today, and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you became a Christian, you became a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to this relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, you say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I've tried it on my own. I can't do it on my own. You've never done this before, but today's your day. I just want you, just real simple, just raise your hand so I can pray for you right where you are. Is there anybody in the house today? You say, you know what? That's me today. I need that in my life. Anybody here today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that next week, Lord God, I pray that next week, Lord Jesus, there's going to be so many people flooding this place, Lord, coming to you, Lord God, to make Jesus Christ the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey, y'all can be seated. Y'all are so great. Thank you for being so great today. Amen. Doug, come on up here, man.
Thank you, Pastor Rick.